When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Going on, everybody. Welcome to PNC Park. I'm Jason Mackey. Noah Hiles will be alongside in a bit. We are outside of the 300 section, 316, 317. It's our first one of these. I'd kind of like to do it a little bit more, talk to you from the ballpark, talk to you about some of the issues going on with the team. I can see that some comments, questions are rolling in. Feel free to ask those. Noah and I will get to them, probably get to all of them, given stuff that is going on here. There's a lot to talk about with this team. And we'll kind of figure this out as we go. So pardon me as I send some text messages and get situated here. We'll get going once Noah gets down here. I see him walking down myself. I should also tweet out the link here for anybody who is not ready to go. Tough time for the Pirates, though, certainly. They made a roster move, as you probably saw. Yasmani Grandal is back here. Henry Davis went down. Get into that with Noah. Just some stuff that, you know, offensively you'd like to see them correct. We'll get into that. Let me just tweet this link out. And we'll talk a little bit more. All right. Yeah, and I said this in my first 10 column and radio piece and what you read postgazette.com, but this is a sneaky important series for me. I know it's May 3rd. It's kind of crazy to say, you know, we're not talking about playoff atmosphere. Noah, he's walking in the stands. Maybe we should have went that route, but no, we're live right here. This guy next to me.
How we doing, everyone?
How are you doing?
Yes. Fantastic. Got 43 people in here already.
All right.
Question from Tim Reeves. We both know Tim. There's no way to describe this, but it was a horrendous setback for the Pirates. Davis, Sawinski, Cruz, Triola, supposed to be the guys. They tanked 3 years ago to draft high enough to get these guys. I get it. What do you think?
Sorry, I had to answer a text from my editor.
I know.
There's no way to describe this as a horrendous start. Davis was tanked.
There's some wind here, by the way.
There's a lot going on. So describe it.
I wouldn't describe it as a horrendous start.
I
disagree a little bit there.
I would say it's a horrendous start for Davis. I would. I mean, yeah. This is a guy that you were banking on being a solid bat in your lineup and your everyday catcher this season. And sure. He showed the ability to do that all spring. I think that's what makes this demotion so tough for fans and for the organization. Now, you look at Cruz. I mean, he's been bad, but I think the expectation should be a little lesser for him, just considering the circumstances of what has unfolded. And, I mean, the guy's hit safely in his last 8 starts. He's not hitting for power. Right. He's still striking out a ton. But he hasn't been as bad, I think, as Sawinski. I mean, Triolo's been a great defender. Sawinski and Davis are, to me, the two big concerns out of this group so far.
Yeah, I hear you. And I understand getting frustrated by it. It's still May 3rd.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't think Henry Davis is, a terrible baseball player. He's just not playing very well right now. And I feel like there's a lot of I got this in my chat this afternoon, just a lot of like conclusions being drawn. I mean, you can say that things aren't going well right now. You can say that they should have some level of concern. And I don't mean this just to respond to Tim. I think this is a fairly common theme among the fan base. It's just like it's still so early for individual player performance. I'd like to see them do things a little bit differently offensively. I'd like to see them juggle their roster a little bit differently or juggle their roster at all. But I don't look at this and say it's a major setback for Henry. I think he's going to go down. I think he's going to be just fine. I think we're, you know, probably what, an injury or poor performance. We're going to see him again soon.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this with other guys in the past where they just needed to take a breath, reset.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, this year we've seen very well the display and difference between AAA pitching and Major League pitching.
You're right.
And how hard it is to make that jump. So just with that being established, for Hank to go down there and just simply barrel a couple balls and get some confidence.
Right.
Forget the mechanics, which obviously need to be worked on. Forget the approach, which obviously needs to be addressed. Just being able to hit a ball hard against someone who's throwing it in an opposite uniform, that's valuable. I think we should probably move under shelter here. I think.
Are we getting rained on?
Yeah, I think we're going to get rained on.
Bear with us. We're going to find the terrace bar. Man, I should have done this originally. Look at this. Been on the beat for a month. He's already smarter than me. So very low bar. All right. So we moved locations. Noah brought my coffee. Thank you. That is not a requirement at all.
It's not.
All right, we're back.
Here we go.
Internet went out there for a second, folks. Sorry about that. Another question. We'll transition to this. Ryan Chepkovich asks, when will Gonzalez or Peguero come up? Both have been looking good in Indy. Same with Lamb. He brings up a good point, man. I'm honestly a little surprised that none of them are here right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for the Pipeline Report this week, I wrote about Jake Lamb. And you just look at the things he's doing well. It's what this club needs. He's only striking out 15.6% of the time. That's the lowest on the club. It's, I think, inside the top 25 in AAA. He leads all of the International League with a .388 batting average. He's not necessarily tearing the cover off the ball as far as power is concerned.
Yeah.
But this club just needs guys who can put the ball in play.
Where would he play?
First base.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not me advocating for anyone to get DFA'd or whatever, but, I mean – you've got to find a room. I mean, you could play him a designated hitter. He's also got, I mean, he's played third base and outfield. I know not a lot and not recently, but to me, we're at a point where you might have to sacrifice a little defense for some more offense. And that might mean playing Nick Gonzalez ahead of Jared Triolo or, you know, getting Oliver Peguero or Jiwon Bae up here. I mean, there are so many other options, and I don't expect any of these guys to come in and change much.
Right.
But you got to try something.
I know. I'm with you there. I would go Gonzalez first, maybe Peguero. Gonzalez has performed the best out of anybody there. And I like Jared Triolo a lot as a player. I don't know if Jared Triolo right now is hitting enough to justify playing every day.
Right.
I just don't, especially not when I have a kid, 2020 first-round pick, you know, very highly coveted prospect at one time. He's producing and is earning his opportunity back here. I have a tough time. How long can you keep him in the minor leagues?
Yeah, and I mean, Alika has been hitting as a reserve infielder, but if I have to choose between Jared Triolo and Alika Williams as my reserve infielder, I think I'm going with Jared Triolo.
Right, exactly. Right?
I mean, he's the better defender at multiple positions, really, and I think that if Gonzalez can come up and be a plus-value bat, and then you have Jared, who can be a really good defender in reserve, I think that's a pretty easy answer to come up with. It's just tough to demote Alika after him, you know, being one of the three hitters that's playing above projection value right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. So Ryan also said, thanks for answering my question. I was the person in your chat today that asked, what do you think about Bart Steelers? And now I can't see it because Noah pushed
it
over.
Right on the thing. Everyone wants to read it.
That's fine. I thought we already did that.
No, you didn't move. You didn't move his next question. Thanks for answering.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to help.
All right, let's go. Joey D 122.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's
I jumped the shark
good.
There.
You didn't jump the shark?
Too much.
He's too technologically savvy at this point, making me feel like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Who do you think leaves the rotation when Paul Skeens comes up? Interesting, Noah.
Who do I think?
Yeah.
Probably Falter if I had to guess.
What?
Yes. What I think they should do is make a six-man rotation.
That's what I would suggest. It's almost like a trick question.
Yeah. But if you were to take one out right now, I guess maybe Priester. I don't know. I think
not quality starts.
Yeah, that's it's tough.
So are you, team six-man rotation?
I am very much team six-man rotation. But I wanted to answer his question where who do I think would leave?
Yep.
I think Falter would be a guy where you could probably move him. He would have the easiest transition into a bullpen role, I think, of everybody. Him or Perez, they both had that role, and you can't move Martin back right now.
No.
So that would be if they end up sticking with a five man, that's what I think they would probably do. But yeah, I think six man is the move.
Can I tell you my fear?
Yeah.
That they do something with Jared Jones. I'm not saying this based on intel. I'm doing it based on precedent. Where they remember a couple years ago they shut down Rowanzi Contreras for a little bit.
Yeah.
They backed him off and all this careful arm care. Him making the team out of camp, he's on pace to just obliterate his career high. And I don't want to see this, by the way. I'm just saying that the Pirates have done this in the past where they would say, like, we're going to ramp, we're going to send Jones down to AAA and, we can better control his start, shorten his innings, build him in a little, deceleration process. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you more on my Bailey Falter idea then, because you've seen how well Falter does following Jones in the rotation.
Sending Falter down to
him? No, I'm piggybacking. If you're worried, if you're to address your innings concern, why not have Jones go three and Falter go three every day if that's what they're going to do?
As a
supplement, that I think that they complement each other so well. Again, this isn't what I would do. I would like just see a six-man rotation. I think they have the horses for it right now.
Yeah.
But if Jones's inning limit is a concern and you want a five-man rotation, why not pair him and Falter to pitch the same day? You're going to get at least seven innings between those two.
Yeah.
You basically give the rest of your bullpen a day off.
I don't hate it, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. It's kind of a way to play both sides a little bit. One area I don't like is I feel like I'm shortening the starts of the guy who's been my second best starting pitcher thus far in Bailey Falter.
Yeah.
Like I'd almost pair Jared Jones with somebody else. Like if I'm going to, I'll piggyback
him,
it's interesting.
I just think the way they've paired, they're both fastball heavy.
Yeah.
And, you don't get a lineup reset with Falter coming in after the fourth. Or something. So you have all lefty. If you have an all lefty lineup to face Jones, you bring in Bailey after Jared goes two times through.
Yep.
And now you have a guy who's going to throw a million fastballs like Jared, but it's going to be 10 miles per hour slower. And he's going to have the curveball to pair like Jared slider. And I think that that's going to be a really good, reliable combination. That's why I would recommend that piggyback duo.
Yeah.
But we're getting into the deep depths of hypothetical land right
now. We love hypothetical land. Ongoing joke with Derek Shelton, he'll always say, anybody that knows me, I don't live in a hypothetical world or a speculative world. We all kind of laugh and give him crap because, he does, we do. We all live in a hypothetical, speculative world, right? All right, another question I was thinking about, Noah, it's going to bounce off of you. How do you see this catching situation?
Sorry.
What is this?
I'm trying to post my daily TikTok. The catching situation. Are we talking short term or long term?
Both. Let's go short term. I mean, how do they work Grandal into the mix? Do you see it as 50-50? Is Joey Bart going to be the guy? Is Grandal going to be the guy?
Originally, if you asked me this question a week ago, knowing that Henry was going to get sent down, I would have said 50-50. But I will say, I mean, Joey Bart has not looked that great since getting everyday playing time a little bit more. So I think I'd probably give Yaz probably, if they play six games a week, I'd probably start Yaz four.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then see how he can handle that. I know that's a big workload, and I know the guy.
I'd rather go 50-50.
You think you'd go 50-50?
I know I'd go
50-50. I mean, I guess you're right. I do want to see what they really have with Joey Bart.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree, because I think you're also going to have to make a decision on Henry Davis here. Like, if he goes down to AAA and rinks, he's going to, like, obviously he's a part of things, right?
Right.
If you need to bring him back, you need to have what you need to know what you have in Joey Bart. To me, like, 50-50 is great. And I don't want to run the wheels off of Grandal either. I worry about that angle of it. He's not young. He's battled injuries. So I would just want to not do too much too soon.
And my question, I guess, to further this catcher dialogue is
making sure we're not getting in trouble.
No,
we're not.
What do you do if Joey Bart does play well with Davis?
Yeah.
And let's say Yaz is replacement level. You're not going to DFA a guy, maybe you trade him or something.
Yeah.
How much demand will there be for a guy who has been injured? He's 35 years old. And if Yaz is replacement level and Bart continues to be a reliable bat, how do you get Henry up here again?
I know.
And B, what do you do with him long term? Because you're probably not going to want to let go of Bart moving forward.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You know, being out of options kind of complicated.
And you add
things.
Endy into the mix,
right,
with everything. And I mean, there's other spots where you could play him moving forward, but now you're asking, I mean, you could move him to first base, maybe you could put him back in the outfield, but now you're just further complicating a guy's time in the big leagues that has already been very convoluted, I think.
Yep, for sure. Mark Lancaster chimes in and says, I hope Henry doesn't get lost in Indy. I'm really rooting for him. A change was necessary. I'm with you, Mark. I think the world of Henry Davis, and I don't question the move for a second. He needs to get right. Whatever's going on upstairs with him. And I think that's a common – I was talking to somebody about this during batting practice. The things that ail the Pirates right now, in my opinion, are not physical. You know, it's not these guys – you know, you don't need to change your mechanics. You don't need to, like, change how you swing or worry about your hands or your feet or anything like that. It's all up here. And people are going to blame Andy Haynes for that. I understand it. I don't like their team-wide approach either. I think they've gotten too passive. I think they're prioritizing things like, you know, O'Neill Cruz, for example. Like, he's going to look at a pitch early in the count. That might be the best pitch he sees. He thrives on hitting mistakes. If it's a, you know, 1-0 pitch or something that theoretically might be one to take, but it's also a pitch he drives, man, I don't want him taking that just to get to 2-0. I want him swinging if that's his best chance of hitting something hard. And so anyway, to me, it's upstairs. It's trying to be more aggressive. It's giving players the green light to be more aggressive. I hope we see that tonight.
I think that's just also a product of baseball too. I mean, when you're doing something you care about every single day and you struggle for a week, you get in your own head.
Yep.
And then any type of success seems a little foreign and you just don't even trust it when it is going well. You're thinking, was that a fluke or was that right? And
right,
you can relate to that in any line of work you're in, you know, if you played right, sports recreationally or whatever.
I think I did that earlier today.
Yeah. Like when you're going through it, you're going through it.
Yep.
And it's tough to string together a couple of good days in a row to really make yourself believe. And I think you're seeing that 1-9 in this batting order right now, with
yep,
the exception of maybe a Connor Joe or a Leika Williams or somebody.
Yeah. All right. Give me one pick who's going to have a big series this weekend. Just the Rockies.
Just the Rockies?
Yeah, just the Rockies. Who's going to break out of it?
Oh, a Pirate who's going to break out. I was I don't know if I can name a Rocky off the top of my head. Elias Diaz, yeah. But no.
The great Pirate catching duo,
yes,
of 2019,
right?
Is back in action.
No. I'll say Brian Hayes.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, because
right,
if you look at his numbers, you know, the OPS is above league average slightly,
yep,
but it's been just a lot of singles and walks.
Yeah.
You're kind of wondering where the pop is that we saw in the back end of 2023. I'll make a prediction. I'll say he hits multiple home runs this series.
All right.
I think
that would work out okay.
Yeah.
I picked Jack Sawinski.
Okay.
I've seen, you know, the underlying numbers do not paint him as a terrible hitter.
I agree.
They are due to turn at some point. No, it has been weird seeing Jack this season. Like, it's fits and starts, right? Like, he has one game, it looks like he might have found it. The next game, he looks completely lost. I think he's been one of the biggest offenders with, you know, looking at called third strikes and being a little too passive when he should be aggressive. But I do think it's getting better. I do think it's in there. He's my pick to click, as they say.
Oh, there we
for
go.
This series. Yeah, buddy. Got one more question, or maybe two. We'll do this for a couple more minutes. I want to let Noah get back to some actual work. A little different being the columnist now versus the beat guy. He actually has work to do. I'm the one saying, hey, let's go do a live stream. Mark Lancaster says, move Cruz to first, Triolo to short, Gonzalez to second.
You want me to move it on the screen here?
Yeah, go ahead.
There we go.
I don't love it, Mark. Appreciate the question. Appreciate the interest. Here's where I break down on Cruz to first. Number one, he doesn't want to do it. Number two, he has the first or second best arm on the team. I still want to ride it out with him at shortstop. I think O'Neill is a bit of a unique animal in how you get him out of the funk that he's in. Like, clearly you need to get that. You need to reach him in some way. And I don't think he's somebody you can demote. I don't think he's somebody you can move positions to. I want to reach O'Neill by meeting him where he's at. If I could, you know, if he was a piece of clay and he would just automatically do what I said, it would be, you know, strip every thought you've had previously. Don't think. Just swing the bat. Be athletic. I'm going to live with it. I'm going to be okay with whatever you want to do. And I would not move positions with him right now. I don't think that would add to anything. I think Triolo would be fine at short. Gonzalez would be fine at second. I'd like to see Triolo and Gonzalez, you know, kind of flip a little bit, but I wouldn't move Cruz. What about you?
In the words of Ron Washington in the movie Moneyball, it's incredibly hard.
Yeah.
When they were talking about moving Scott Hatteberg to first base. I mean, the idea of making him.
What about the fans?
Go from
Maybe
short.
Maybe I can get one of them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go from short to first mid-season. That's really hard. Maybe down the line, if, you know, throughout the course of this season, we see that, hey, the ankle isn't as stable as we thought.
Yeah.
And you could sell him on the idea of, look, man, like, this is a place where you can not have to run around and go side to side as much, and you can preserve your health to play 150 games and be an effective hitter. Maybe he'll buy into that. Or maybe he'll make so many errors this season that you just say you don't have a choice.
Yep.
But right now, I mean, the guy hasn't even played a full major league season. I'm with you, Andrew. Jason. with you, Jason.
Yeah.
I think this is a guy you just need to let be the freak athlete that he is, both in the field, on the bases, and at the plate.
Right.
And less is more sometimes with him.
All right. Am I holding you? You want to go eat?
I do want to go eat.
Go eat.
All right.
Go eat. I'm going to stay on here a little bit longer. I'll talk to you guys.
I apologize for I just want a public apology for calling you Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
And for hitting all of your questions.
Yeah. No
but
problem.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
Say goodbye to Chris Carter.
Okay.
He's doing great. All right. Yeah, we have at least one more. If you guys want to ask anything else, by all means, fire away. I'll do a little AMA style here, either about the Pirates and really anything you want to ask. But the Frosty Trey, or the Frosty Trex, maybe I got that wrong. How is Andy Haynes still employed? So figure I'll address this. Got it a lot in my chat today. The Andy Haynes quotient. I just think it's too early. There are certain steps to this. And I got a lot of questions about, when's Ben Cherington going to be fired? When's Derek Shelton going to be fired? Like, we're at a stage we want to fire everybody. I understand. They have underperformed. They absolutely have underperformed. I think the first step here would be to change the approach. And obviously the approach, they're not coaching them to strike out. They're not coaching them to be too passive. But I think what we're seeing is that they're not coaching them to be aggressive or appropriate, or however you want to put it, effective hitters. And there's the question from the Frosty Trey there. But, yeah, I'm not going there with Haynes yet. I'm just not. It would be extremely unusual for them to do something this early. I'm not saying it wouldn't be warranted at some point. I mean, the Pirates have to get this thing turned around. And I've been writing that. The owner of the team says, you know, we expect to be in playoff contention. The manager says the same thing. The GM says the same thing. And frankly, they have the talent in some other areas to be really good. The starting rotation, like Noah and I were talking about, with drop Paul Skenes in there. Perfectly reasonable. Bailey Falter has been way better than anybody thought. Mitch Keller, excuse me, I'm going to cough up something in the air up here. But Bailey Falter, Mitch Keller, Jared Jones, Quinn Priester has been very good. Martin Perez has been very good. Like, that's a starting rotation that should theoretically be spitting out a better record than 14-18. And they haven't been able to do that because of the lackluster offense over the past 21. That's good enough. 21 games, is that enough to fire the hitting coach and go nuclear? In my opinion, no. There are steps to take. And, you know, one of them, as much as I hate to see Henry Davis go, was sending Henry Davis to AAA whenever Yasmani Grandal was better. And I think this is going to be good for Henry Davis. I think he's going to be able to get his confidence back. I think he's going to be able to, you know, perform in a less high-pressure environment. And we're going to see what the results are. And again, as Noah and I were talking, I think they need to figure out what their catching situation looks like with Bart and Grandal. And then, you know, if Henry finds a stroke, he comes back and he should be a big part of this offense. I don't think we've gotten anywhere near the best out of Rowdy Tellez. I don't think we've gotten anywhere near the best out of Andrew McCutchen, Jack Swinski, really most everybody in this offense. And, I think they're certainly aware of that. They want to be better. They're trying to be better. But I don't feel like firing the hitting coach would just magically solve that. That's, again, not to endorse Andy Haynes. But if I'm coaching these guys and I'm looking at what the Pirates are doing, less is more. Less is more. I don't want to dig my heels in with what's going on and, you know, start talking about the nuance of what we're doing. Get away from the nuance. Simplify. Attack fastballs early in count. Attack whatever in counts. You have a scouting report on a guy that says he throws, you know, a first pitch slider 65% of the time. You know what? Sell out to a slider. Don't worry about working the count. Work the count another day. Work the count when you've got some confidence back. That's how I always was as a hitter. Not like I'm going to compare my own pathetic baseball career to the Pirates, but, you know, just swing your way out of it. And I do think they're due. It's a great series to get right. You've probably read and been made aware of the Colorado Rockies. They're not in good shape. So we'll see if the Pirates can do that. I have another one from Mark Lancaster. Where can we find a power hitter? The farm is full of arms and no bats. Would the team consider trading Keller for a bat? Mark, you're out there today, buddy. You are out there. And I again, appreciate the questions, but I'm not trading Mitch Keller. They just extended him 5 years, $77 million. That's exactly what you should want the Pirates to do. They have power hitters. They do. I mean, number 15 is a power hitter. Key Bryan, the final 2 months of last year, hit for power. I think there's more power in what Brian Reynolds has done thus far. I'm not saying Brian Reynolds has been bad. He hasn't been. Their power is also, to quote Moneyball again, you replace it in the aggregate. They might not have a guy hitting 40 home runs, but they should have two, three guys who can put the ball over the fence. And I think that's the way this team is constructed. You want to look at numbers with the Pirates. This has been my opinion dating back to when I was on the beat. Look at more than just traditional stats. Look at more than batting average. Look at more than home run total, something like that. I do like looking at OPS. I like looking at WRC+. There's a lot of places you can go. And so anyway, you look at something like that, and I see Oliveras with like a 109, 110 WRC+ the past couple of years. That's a productive hitter. At the same time, they haven't had enough of those writ large in the lineup. Jack Sawinski's somebody I would look to get more out of. I said to Les earlier, Cruz, Davis, Kutch, et cetera. They don't need one magical power hitter to just come thundering through here and hit 40 home runs. They need the group, the total, to just be better. Like, work your walks, but strike out less. Put the ball in play more. Put pressure on the defense. Steal bases. Use athleticism. That sort of stuff. So, and Mark just chimed in too. At least five of these guys should hit for double digits this year. That's more of what I'm talking about. That's more of what I'm talking about than one singular hitter. So, all right, that probably about does it for this live stream. I wanted to go about 25 or 30 minutes. A lot of intriguing stuff in this series. I'll be here tonight, off tomorrow, back on Sunday after the marathon. Remember, the marathon's going on, so traffic patterns could be a little funky. Be back for the Angels and the Cole Tucker Fest after that. But thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of my content, Noah's content, Andrew Destin's content, even Chris Carter's content, who made a random appearance here as Noah called me by the wrong name. But thank you guys very much for watching. And we'll talk to you again soon.